Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What True Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Main interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show. Hi, Samantha. Welcome to What True Next podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh my goodness, I am a writer of contemporary romance that is hotter than sweet, sweeter than hot. It's a lengthy tagline, but it really sums things up.
It does. It sure does. So we're going to talk about your latest series. Like, what have you been up to? Because you're putting books consistently, so which is exciting for readers.
I am. We just finished up my Band on the Run series back in March. That book four was not a planned book. That was just sort of hey, I really want to write this, so let's do it. We haven't visited that series in a few years and did that. But now we are fully focusing on my Donovan's family. And Charm Me comes out later this month on May 23rd.
Yeah. So talk about the Donovan series. What should readers expect from it?
Okay. Total small town, family saga, meddling family. These guys, they're just all in each other's business. And this book is brother Jamie Donovan and baby on the doorstep. He's the charming one in the family. He's the little schmooze and everything. And he wakes up one day and there's a baby on the doorstep.
And more will be real. More will be real. So gotta talk about the newest thing is Couple Plus, which your books are available on it. So can you talk to us about that, at that service, and why we should look for your books there, other than buying them and in our favorite bookseller,
I am because I'm based in the US, and so Kobo is something that I didn't quite understand, because it didn't, it seemed like Kobo took a long time to really become big. And now Kobo Plus, it's everywhere now. It's in the US, it's everywhere. And so pretty much they just make it one step closer for pretty much anybody. There's no reason why you can't get a book.
So for listeners who may not be familiar, Kobo Plus is a new service that they offer unlimited reading for a flat fee. So they have three different tiers. They have books, there are $7.99, audiobooks, $7.99, or audiobooks and books for $9.99. You will need to use a Kobo. If you want an e-reader per se, you can read it from your phone, you can read it from your iPad, from the app. Or you may need a Kobo e-reader, which they sell them in Walmart, because Walmart actually does have Kobo relationship. But the exciting thing is that it has access to a lot of new authors that you may think I want to read you, but I'm not sure.
It is. It was huge. When that announced, that was just last month, right? Yeah. That was early last month. And it was just everybody was finally, so it's great when these services to take you a little bit away from the Zon, so that they don't have all of the power, what I'm saying? So I think it's great. Totally. Yeah.
And it's also for authors, because it doesn't give you the exclusivity, the exclusivity rule, which is actually what is a plus for the author who wants to go wide, who can be available in libraries, can be available in different places. You're not exclusive to it. So.
Yes. I've always been wide, I don't think that my books fit the KU model.
Yeah.
I've tried it with a few different series and it never did well. So I do better. I feel like I'm in the minority of authors who do better wide.
Yeah. So what has been you've been self-published, you've been in the wide version for a long time. Talk to us what has been some of the surprising things that you notice now trending, or things that you wish you knew when you got started, and you're oh my gosh, this is what I now know, trying to.
You know, back when I published my first book in 2011, and pretty much like you had Facebook.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and you, you know, like bloggers were out there, but like you really had to cultivate a relationship with them. And there wasn't as many of them. You know what I mean? Like you were able to have like closer relationships with them. And as time has gone on, like with this whole TikTok thing, I'm old. I'm in my 50s. Like TikTok to me, I'm like, I don't get it. I don't want to look at myself on video. And again, I don't feel like I write for the book talk type of things. But there's so much more involved now. It's not just that you get to write your book and like a couple of bloggers could share it and you're going to have success. Like you have to be like the writing is becoming the smaller and smaller part of the business as compared to like everything else that you have to do, the marketing and the promoting and the trying to be seen and heard when the market is so full right now of authors. Yeah. I feel like there's probably like 100 times more than there were, you know, 10 years ago. Yeah. So trying to be heard and, you know, having a good relationship with your readers. And that's why I do put out books so consistently, because it would be very easy to get lost and forgotten. Yeah. Because there's so many great authors out there.
And how do you balance the writing? Because it's like, it's consistent. Like the consistency is, at the end of the day, consistency is what's actually going to give you the long-term vision. It's like you do it consistently, you get it done. You post things consistently, it snowballs, you get the readers, you know. Exactly. But how do you maintain it, you know? Because it's a marathon, not a sprint in this case.
Exactly. Well, you know, I'm fortunate because my kids are grown.
Yeah.
You know, so I have the house to myself all day.
Yeah.
You know, my husband is incredibly understanding because, okay, so little backstory. When I first started writing, I had a full-time job. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was working full-time. So when at the end of the day, like after dinner, I would just sort of retreat to my corner with my laptop and I would write at night, like getting as many words as I could. So when I was able to quit my day job, my husband's like, oh, finally, I'll be able to actually see you after dinner. And like, we could hang out. My brain still works better writing at night. So I have all day to myself, and yet I write better at night. And it's the phase of life right now. Like we are, you know, we don't have other commitments. We don't have kids in school or sports or anything like that. So, you know, unless we have something that we want to do, I can write whenever I want. I don't have restricted hours.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not as disciplined as you would think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like there are days like that. Sometimes there are weeks where there's not a word that goes on the page.
Yeah.
But then there are other days that I could write 10,000 words.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of like, I have deadlines. I know when things have to be to my editor, when things have to be to the audio producer. And I just have to make sure that I stay in those parameters.
There we go. That's the magic of success.
Yes.
It's all consistent. It's all consistent work. Like show up to it, you know?
Exactly. It's not easy, you know, because it's writing or any creative process, as I'm sure you know. I mean, if the characters aren't talking or your muse isn't there, you can't force it.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes it's hard to like sit there and be like I've got to do this, like I've got to get words on the page, and nobody's talking. You know, so I have to make sure that I'm doing other things with my time, making sure that, okay, if the characters aren't talking, then I have to be making sure that I'm scheduling my social media posts or I'm catching up on emails. Like you have to make sure you're still being productive in other ways.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. All right. So let's talk some book recommendations, because that's what we want to know. We want to know what kind of books do you tend to read, and then some books do you recommend? I know you're in your Ruby Dixon era. So
I am in my Ruby Dixon era. Like I will read them and reread them. And I can't, like, so many of my friends are like, I never would have pegged you as a Ruby Dixon fan, but I am. And I'm so bummed that I'm not going to Book Bonanza this year, because she's going to be there. That's just my tone. I'm missing out on a fangirl moment. But I have really, like, this last year, I didn't get to read for pleasure, like, at all. Mm-hmm. I had gotten the rights back to 32 of my books.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I was having to redo 32 books plus my writing, you know, my current writing schedule. And my dad had passed away unexpectedly. So like reading for pleasure was just out the window because I was reading just to keep up with all of the things that I had to do. So I like more of a comfort read. I am like all about some Carly Phillips, some Nora Roberts, but like old school Nora Roberts. Like her older stuff, like the McCabe brothers and what was the other one? Something Harbor.
Let me see. I think you wrote it.
I can't think of the name. There was four of them. They were very similar. The McCabe brothers and the Something Harbor one were Chesapeake Harbor or Chesapeake Bay, something like that. I devour them because it's the siblings, it's the brothers, it's the like there's just family trauma that goes back to childhood that they're dealing with as adults that is just like crack to me, you know. And I will go back and I will read those and I will reread those, along with Sarah Nay's Jacques Rule. I met her at Book Bonanza last year and I actually pre-ordered. I wanted that book signed, and I told her, I said, I can't even tell you how many times I've reread this book because it's just so fun and it's total escapism, you know. And I tend to, during the holidays, I get into historical holiday romances. Like I am all over the place, but like it's a season. Like I will only read them during the holidays. Ruby Dixon year round, but I'm currently working my way through Piper Rain's Green Family. Yes. And we would a bunch of us were discussing it at a Polycon this weekend. Like it's harder now reading contemporary romances for me because I think like I've been doing this so long, like I find I don't relax and enjoy it as much. I think my author brain kicks in a little too much, and maybe that's why I gravitate more towards the Ruby Dixon or to Sarah's because it's different than what I read.
I think, you know, sometimes you just need a break. You're not thinking about like the structure or like what is the character motivation, what is going to happen, expecting the twist, expecting the stuff. You know, there's a
Exactly.
different level of writing. There's a different level of reading than there's reading for pleasure, where it's like just getting engrossed in the story that you're never gonna write, and you're just like down for the oxytocin,
Yes.
you know.
Yes. Oh, there is I you know what? I was a reader long before I was a writer, and like I fangirl. I still like I get excited about certain books, and you know, I just wish I had more time to enjoy it like I used
I love this. Samantha,
to.
tell us where you can find you online.
You could find me on Instagram at Samantha Chase Romance. My Facebook is Samantha Chase Fan Club. My website is chasing-romance.com.
Thank you, Samantha, for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.